And welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you here with Riley County Commissioner Ron Wells. Any questions, comments, concerns? Just got about 10 minutes left in the program. Take advantage of this opportunity to ask one of your elected officials a question straight up. 785-537-1350. We talked about a lot of topics this morning and mentioned some of the fair schedule. I want to go through some of that coming up. Again, July 27th through the 31st, Riley County Fairgrounds by Seco Park. The Apple Pie Contest, July 30th, 1 p.m. I understand you haven't been invited to this. Been welcome to the last year.
I feel slighted slightly. We had one commissioner last year who was a judge. We had a previous commissioner that was a judge. And apparently it's a lot of work, a lot more work than I anticipated. But I've been waiting on the Peach Pie Contest. So I guess.
Do you like pie?
Yes.
Okay, so if you really like pie, and you have taste samples of like 30 pieces of pie in a couple hours time frame, do you think you would still like pie when you're done?
That is why I haven't pushed them for peach pie.
You know, I think that that's a good point. I think that's a good point. If you're going to be a judge, go for a pie that you really don't like.
Gooseberry. That would do it for me.
If they had a cherry pie one,
you want to hope to preserve your appreciation for your favorite pie.
Oh, absolutely. That's why right now I would turn down the peach pie judging just for that reason, because that's my favorite pie.
And Commissioner Wilson did it last year, and you said he's still recovering.
I think so. He didn't look like he was ready for this year.
training you got to do before that.
The Call Valley Rodeo is a big venue here in Manhattan, and being a life member of the Call Valley Rodeo Association, I'm very proud of the work that we do and maintaining those facilities and putting on a top-of-the-line rodeo every year. I believe on Thursday night they have Military Appreciation Night, Friday Tough Enough to Wear Pink. Unfortunately, I bought my pink shirt. I got the long sleeve, and that was the 110-degree day. So this year I'm going to go look for a short sleeve one and maybe a little lighter weight, or maybe just a pink T-shirt. I don't know. But
just get no mesh. No mesh one or something like that.
Absolutely. The Clover Bridges, I'm not real familiar. I'm going to look at that this year because of they're supposed to be making models of replicas of the you have to pick a bridge that actually exists and then make a replica of it.
And not just 4-H kids, looks like kind of all ages on that one.
Mm-hmm. And then the Blue Valley Pork Producers Barbecue. Oh, I love that. That is wonderful.
That's good stuff. I've had it. We got a caller. Caller, you are on In Focus.
Question, why did they make the Anderson Avenue a roundabout rather than an overpass? It looks to me like that road coming down the hill from Covert Hills has so many curves in it. It's an accident waiting to happen at night.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm one of the biggest people that oppose what they're doing right now, but my words fell on deaf ears. The overpass that was proposed originally, looking at the South End connection, was going to be super, super expensive, and so they came up with this roundabout idea. I felt that because of truck traffic, it should have gone up the top of the hill up there and keep those ready-mix trucks moving and semis that deliver to Manhattan, because I don't want to be stuck behind one of them on a steep hill, winter or summer, in case they miss a gear or kill the engine, because those brakes don't work that well backwards. So, and also looking at the space of the roundabout, I had a comment from a person from Salina last week that said, why didn't they make the roundabout bigger? There's a ton of space there. They took up so much land. So those things are out of my hands. Basically, that's KDOT and the city of Manhattan there. So overpass would have worked good for me.
Excellent way to happen. If you come down that hill from Covert Hills, they have three S-turns before you get to the roundabout. And they're subtle, and they have a curb on it to the point where you're going to kill your tire at the point that you're coming down that hill. And at night, I cannot imagine all the people exiting that football stadium and trying to go around that roundabout.
Well, my friends and neighbors out west of Keats and west of on Wildcat Creek Road and stuff, there will be hours when they won't be able to come to town. It's just I feel it's just a wrong thing to do, but that's just my personal opinion. for that location right there, because I drive it often, more than once a day, many times a day. I've never had a problem before, and don't get me started on them stupid diverging diamonds either.
I've heard these ran through a few commission meetings. Well, although we have some time to fill if you want to get going.
Well, I just went the one at Junction City, $6-7 million and years work. I drove that when I was seeing somebody at the Harrington, and I drove it maybe 2 or 3 times a day sometime. Never a problem. Big truck stop there, semis, traffic. So coming back from a meeting in Concordia a couple weeks ago, I took 18 to 77, went south. Guess what? 2 stoplights, a big load of trucks trying to worm their way through there. It didn't accomplish a single thing, I'll guarantee you. But what it is, it's my opinion, is there was 81 of them in the United States, so we got to have one too. And so now on Sesschild, and I drive that, was driving it every day, now I'm going to have 2 stoplights to sit through, possibly, depending on which way I'm going. And I never sat through more than 1 stoplight change there ever, even in the worst of traffic. So I just felt that money on the diverging diamond should have gone to those 2 bridges by the bowling alley there, and fixing up that road coming in on Fort Riley Boulevard.
And where are they at on that diverging diamond by Sesschild? Is that
supposed to be open? They moved over to the east side. They're supposed to be open, I think, this fall. Looks like they're making good progress on it.
A lot of construction around town this time of year. Almost seems like more than last
College
year.
College Heights is closed. And we closed Marlette. And Kimball's still open, though.
Yep. Denison over by K-State. I think you got that kind of closed up still.
But I just wish back years ago I'd have been invested in orange barrels and cones.
You probably wouldn't be sitting here.
I wouldn't either.
Or what about a concrete company? 66,000 cubic yards going into NBAF.
Oh, I can't believe it. Just
that'll pave a 6-lane highway, 5 miles.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, mercy. Well, I see enough of the trucks, so I don't doubt that a bit. But, yeah, a ready-mix company would be a good company to be in right now.
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just a couple more things on the fair week. Just want to get through. It'll also be the Flint Hills Auto Entertainment Tent. That'll be July 28th, 29th. Mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff there. And the Paralympics will be July 29th at 2:15 at Pardo Paul. And they'll be take parts in such events as the Scoop Shovel Race, the Grease Zucchini Toss. Should be fun. And other not-so-clean fun. I'm just reading the brochure here. That's what it says.
They make it interesting. They do a wonderful job. Jennifer Wilson and the whole crew, you know, from Raleigh County. Public Works has a lot of work to do there. We've got the sidewalks up in good shape. And we did put some retaining walls in to max out the number of booths for food vendors and everything. And then, of course, the Ottawa Amusement Carnival. I think looking at the circus being gone and with all the rules and regulations on these activities now, right. We don't know how much longer we'll even have an amusement like that, the venue at the fair, which is very important to these fairs. That's what people look for, all the bright lights and the Ferris wheels and everything.
And the thrill is, I noticed last year there was a couple new rides that I don't know. I kind of wanted to get on. I was a little nervous.
Well, you're younger than I am. I just wanted to watch.
You want to watch me screaming
and
crying on the scary ride. I don't blame you. I'd want to see that.
Yeah,
I'd want to see that too. But a lot of interesting things coming up, and the summer's just flown by, hasn't it? Can't believe we're already talking
absolutely.
About
it. Absolutely. I just want it to slow down a little bit, and as you'll learn too, the older you get, the faster time moves, and now at my age, I would like to just kind of reduce that speed a little bit and stick around as long as I can. But it's out of our hands, so you just have to deal with it day by day. Fortunately, we got the budget done, and that's very important to Raleigh County, and so now we just all these list of boards we're on. We have a lot of work we do besides the 2 days a week that we meet. We have a lot of boards and a lot of other things that we have to look after. So we put our time in, but the most stress is during budget time.
All right. And then stress is over for now.
It is.
All right. Appreciate it, Ron.
That's K-Man's In Focus. Brady Bowman in, hosting the program with Riley County Commission Chair Ron Wells. CBS News comes up next, followed by the Clark Howard Show on KMAN.
Shop local from Florida.